Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Probably going to settle it. Ibrahimovic, of all people.
And Benfica have their lead back out of the blue.
Cristiano Ronaldo, Real Madrid's ace marksman, finished it. Finally, André Schürrle.
I'm Lindsay Hipgrave, and this is the BT Sport Champions League podcast. Last night, Gus Hiddink's Chelsea hosted Paris Saint-Germain for a place in the quarterfinals, while Zenit welcomed Benfica to St. Petersburg. Joining me for the best of BT Sport insight and analysis were Gianluca Vialli, Rio Ferdinand, Gary Lineker and Glenn Hoddle.
Ibrahimovic, Paris Saint-Germain looking very dangerous, and they have the goal as well. A hammer blow for Chelsea. Diego Costa, brilliant so far. Chelsea level, wonderful goal. And there is the goal that is probably going to settle it. Ibrahimovic, of all people.
I think when we go through the game, I think we started too much respectful in the first 10 minutes, and they were dominating. It's a good team. It's very difficult to play them. But I think when we got more courage and we defend more forward, then we got some chances out of that in the first half. Second half, I think we were on the edge to go into the 2-1 into the prolongation. But it was a little moment in the 67th minute just before we had the big chance to score through William and others. But I think that was a little moment in the 67th minute. Nevertheless, we lost to a very good team, I must say.
Yes, Paris Saint-Germain are through to the quarterfinals of the Champions League. They've beaten Chelsea both at home and away. And whilst Chelsea put on a spirited display in the end, a certain 34-year-old giant of the game proved that he's still got plenty to offer. Not for the first time in his celebrated career, Zlatan Ibrahimovic was the match winner. Still got plenty to offer, Rio.
Yeah, I mean, this game was decided by clinical, top-level play, and he was at the centre of that both times. One with an assist, one with a goal. He basically ended the tie. I mean, he showed today that even at 34, English clubs as a free transfer should be looking at this guy to come over here and be the catalyst to winning things, because that's what he does, he wins things.
Laurent Blanc walking off with his team there. Victories both home and away, overall deserved winners.
Yes, but it's a pity, because in hindsight, I thought that Chelsea really, you know, had a chance to do better. But I think that Chelsea's cardinal sin was to allow too much space and time to these quality midfielders. And when you combine that quality with the quality of players of the likes of Ibrahimovic, Lucas, Di Maria, then you need to be perfect in order to go through. And Chelsea were not perfect tonight.
Your evaluation, Glenn?
No, I thought they were very composed in the way that Paris played from the start, right the way through the game. And Ibrahimovic epitomised that, the way he played in everything that he did. But in saying that, I just felt that a big loss was Costa coming off. Mm. Costa looked really good tonight. And Chelsea had a couple of chances where they might have gone 2-1 ahead. Willem particularly had a couple of shots, and Costa got in behind a couple of times. And you're thinking, hey, Chelsea are not out of this game. As soon as he went off, I felt, you know, that was really the end of it. And it was a class goal, you know, a real top-class goal that knocked him out.
Where does this leave Chelsea? Massively disappointed, obviously, but there's not much left this season now.
No, but, you know, a good club shows its strength in this kind of a, you know, situation where there's nothing to play for apart from the FA Cup, they need to, you know, they need to finish the season on a high. Mm. It's important for themselves, for the club, for the fans. So they can't really just give up after this match. Mm. They need to carry on. And getting fourth is still, I mean, it's almost impossible, but it's still achievable. Mm. So they've got to try to come fourth.
I suppose as well, Glenn, you know, at this stage of the season, they're out of the Champions League, but they put on a bit of a, you know, they had a spirited effort at it.
Oh, most definitely, Gary. Over the two legs, there were spells in Paris where I felt they were quite strong as well. But certainly tonight, I felt they were right in this game until that second goal went in, and then they needed another three goals. And
that's the problem. When you concede an early goal in a game like that, it really puts you under pressure.
Yeah, but no, they played good enough football against a very, very good, classy side. Not the very best in the Champions League, I must say, but they put on a very good performance over the two legs, and always felt they're in this second tie.
That's the positive. What's aside from losing, obviously, what's the real negative for Chelsea here?
I think the big thing to come out of today, other than the result and the disappointment of going out of the Champions League, is the injuries. Mm. Hazard limped off, Costa limped off. Costa probably his best performance since last season when he was banging in all the goals. So how they get themselves back up, lifted for the remainder of the season and the FA Cup, it's important. It's character. People in the change room, have they got the guys in there to really build them back up again? Hiddink's come in and done very well, get them back on track, he has, but he's got to do it again now.
It was on a knife edge, wasn't it, Luca, in that second half at 1-1? You think the next goal was always going to be vital. And when it came to Ibrahimovic, who's not always scored that many against English clubs in the past.
No, but it was so dominant throughout the game. He's been given a free role, a free position by the manager. And goodness me, he's so good at playing in any position on the pitch. I mean, he created the first goal with a splendid assist, and he was on the finishing end of that pass from Di Maria to score the second one. He really is a very special player.
I think sometimes you have to hold your hand up and say that they could have defended the book a bit better, but the quality, the first ball from Rabiot, from Motta, and then the cross from Di Maria on a sixpence for Ibrahimovic
had played a ball exactly the same. You had inches to spare. It had to be perfect. Di Maria, the same. You know, there's teams that get in behind you and don't punish you. But this was in a blink of an eye, it was like exquisite play, and it's in the back of the net. At a time when Chelsea was still much in the game. But that's the Champions League
that's
level.
That's the difference. When you're on top, when you get an opportunity at this level, you have to punish teams. Yeah, and if you don't, they'll come back at the other end and do the same to you.
But I think that both goals were avoidable.
In fact, let's talk about Ibrahimovic. You know, we talked about the game. He's a player that does divide opinion. I'm not sure why. I've always thought he was a sensational world-class footballer personally, but there are those that, you know, doubt him.
Well, he's got a huge personality. He's so influential, and you can see, I mean, every time he asks for the ball, not to pass him the ball is not an option. I mean, everyone in Paris Saint-Germain's side has got to pass the ball to Ibrahimovic as soon as he calls for the ball. And when he's got the ball, he can always create something.
Are you suggesting he has a large ego?
He has. When you've won 12 titles in 14 years, you've got a right to have an ego that size. But what was great about him today is that he was dominant. Mm. And I've not really seen it, especially against English teams, I've not seen him be as dominant as he was tonight. Everything he'd done, he was efficient. He was productive in what he'd done.
I think because he's 34 as well now, I think he's playing a little bit easier.
More cute.
He plays a little bit earlier. He doesn't take as many touches. And he's in a team at the moment that are creating for him. And if he's on a free transfer, I'd love to see him play in the Premier League. I really would next year. It would be marvellous for the Premier League.
All right, if you were an English club now, which one of the, say, I don't know, the big four or five, which one, if you were the manager of any of those, would you go for him? Or?
I think it'd suit
which
Arsenal.
Clubs? Arsenal.
I think it'd suit Arsenal. Probably most of them. I think it'd suit Chelsea. I think there's, you know, if you want to press and go Man City, if Pep's coming in, no, probably not. Yeah. But he's a wonderful footballer. Yeah. And he brings other players. Not only does he score goals himself, but he'll create a bad full of goals for other people. And the difference is there's a lot of centre forwards you can't put a ball in the air to. You can put a ball in, you can cross balls to him. Yeah. So he's got a bit of everything. Yeah.
If you say in Arsenal, what he will bring to Arsenal is a mentality, what they're lacking, to win, to get over the line and win titles. And He's done that.
But he's 34. Is it too late for him?
No, because he's still very hungry for success.
Ages me, I'm the oldest here.
He's very demanding on himself.
No, you're not. That's so unusual, Glenn. It's so great to have you here.
I knew I was here for a reason.
Go on.
So demanding on himself and also on his teammates. And he brings the best out of you because he wants you to play your very best. And I'm not sure whether to play alongside him as a centre-forward. It's an easy thing to do.
No.
Player like you, for example, that found it very, very difficult to play, you know, with Ibrahim because of your way of playing and his player, way of playing. Yeah. But, you know, it really makes you feel as if you're stronger as an individual, as a team, when he's on your side. Yeah.
OK, what about the other centre-forward for the other team, Chelsea, tonight? Costa was electric while he was... It was such a shame he got injured at that time.
Yeah, it was, because I've never... Other than the beginning of the last season, up until Christmas, I've not really been impressed with him since then. But today, he was putting Paris Saint-Germain to the sword, and they look intimidated. They didn't know how to deal with him. His physicality, his directness, and his finish was exquisite.
For me, one of the biggest things, the difference he's done since Hiddink's come in, is he's played within the width of the 18-yard box. He's stayed in and around where he's going to score his goals, whether there's crosses coming in or he's manufacturing something himself, which he's done today. But he had that little bit of sharpness about him. And he's had that ruthlessness that he's had, like this. He's a winner, but it's been a little bit more controlled, hasn't it? He's not gone over the line.
Yeah, he's looked more focused. But he's re-evaluated what he's good at and where he's good.
I think this is where he got injured, Luca, wasn't it? When he burst through here.
Well, it's really a pity because he was back to his very best. Yeah. I agree with the guys, and now he'll be out for a while, which is really not ideal for Chelsea.
He's clearly feeling that injury there, and as he limped off, that was pretty much the end of Chelsea's night, really.
There was moments, obviously, when I felt Chelsea were always in the game, as we said. But no, I think as an away side coming here and having to get a result and hold on to that 2-1, I'd be going back to Paris saying, yeah, that was a very professional performance. The fight is still in there. They've still got to come up against the big boys, and I think when they come up against them, I think they will struggle a little bit. But that was still a very good scene.
That was my next question. Can they compete, go all the way? Can they make that extra jump?
I think full credit to them, because every year they get better. They gain more experience, more confidence, or they start progressing a bit, you know, more in the Champions League. But I don't think that's, you know, already up there with the likes of Bayern Munich, Barcelona, Real Madrid. Maybe next year, if they sign somebody like Cristiano Ronaldo or another great signing, then they can sort of, in a way, close the gap. But at the moment, they're not at the same level.
Going forward, they have exquisite moments. They've got world-class players in attacking areas of the field. It's just defensively, I find them, they're still vulnerable. They showed vulnerable signs here. In Paris, they showed vulnerable signs. And against them top teams, they will be punished. Yeah.
I think it's a key moment for this club at the moment. When you think about it, they might not be having... Well, they won't be having Champions League football here for probably 16 months.
Yeah.
And that's a long time for this club. New manager coming in. Hiddink's done a fantastic job.
It's unthinkable from where they were at the end of last season. They were champions.
There's not going to be Champions League for 16 months nearly, and that's if they qualify in the top four, which I think they will next year. But it's a big transition to be made at the club at this moment in time.
Yeah. Maybe they're going to change. Are they changing the whole dynamics of the club and relying on youth? Well, they've got a great youth system here. Is that going to be able to flourish?
Just a bit as an Englishman, Loftus-Cheek, you know, three goals they needed. I thought, because he's not perhaps staying long-term himself, that's the time to put him in against this. Yeah. They have 25...
I mean, they've got this academy system, but they seem very reluctant to actually give the kids a chance, don't they?
You know, when you play at this level, it's quite difficult to take a chance on young players unless they
unless they're young players like Tottenham have got. Exactly.
No, but the fact that there's a new manager coming in might be...
Which I must ask you, do you think it will be Conte? There's a lot of talk about him hitting, probably. What would he bring? You know him really well.
Well, I think that probably 50-60% of the trophies won by Chelsea in the last 20 years being won by Italian managers. So I think that going for an Italian manager is definitely a good choice. In Italy, they call him the Italian sort of Mourinho, because he's got that kind of personality,
business personality.
And his teams always play in a very humble way, with a lot of humility, a lot of pride, and tactically they're always very, you know, tactically well placed on the pitch, and he's a winner. He won three consecutive titles with Juventus, so I think that if he's the guy signing the contract, it would be a great choice.
Do you think he'd adapt well to Premier League football? Because it's obviously very different to Italian football.
No, I think so, because I think the key in Premiership football nowadays is to defend well, to be solid at the back, and then whatever happens going forward, it's a plus. But if you look at the likes of Tottenham and Leicester, they are the two sides in the league that defend.
They're the best organised. They're the best organised teams in the league.
An Italian manager might have a few, you know, faults, but they can organise the side better than anybody else.
They need to find the right man, though, don't they?
True? Oh, they certainly do. That's very true. That's very true.
Thank you.
And they do. It's a key moment in the club. It really is, like I said. And I think Conte probably will be the one they'll go for. Simone was one they were muted. I'm not sure that Simone will allow these players that they've got already here, like your Hazards and your Oscars and your Willems, to play with that freedom. It's a real solid system that he puts together. But Conte would be probably a good choice. Yeah.
I'd be very interested to see about the youth policy. We mentioned it a little bit earlier, but they have possibly, alongside Manchester City at the moment and Manchester United, the best youth policy, youth system in the league. Playing the young teams in the Champions League, winning the UEFA Champions League for under-21s, winning the youth leagues.
Where do they go?
Are these kids going to get an opportunity to play here at Stamford Bridge? That's what you see. John Terry's the last main player to come and be a real mainstay in the team who's come through the youth system. Mm-hmm. When is the next one going to come? Is it going to be Loftus-Cheek? Is it when one of the young lads who are playing now?
Not sitting on the bench, it's not, is it? He's got to get out and play. He's got to play. And if he's not playing here,
it's the old adage, isn't it? If you're good enough, you're old enough. Mm. Isn't it, Luca, really? I mean, Tottenham have shown that. They've got some, you know, wonderful young players. But perhaps they've blossomed because they've been given the opportunity.
Of course. They've bought quite a few of them players. Them young players have not all been coming through the academy.
No, they bought
Kane came through, fantastic. But a lot of them they bought in at a young age, and they're English players at Tottenham. I think that's why we focus on them, rightly so. Mm. They're English-blooded players, which we need. Because the foreigners that are coming in, there is immense in this league.
It's also difficult when you're young to be able to handle the expectations and the pressure. And I think that as a manager, you always need to think about when is the right time to pick and put and give one of the young players a chance.
Yeah.
I would be a bit reluctant to give a young player a chance when the team is not going particularly well, when the fans are a little bit upset. So you really need to be clever in giving them a chance at the right time.
But that's a manager's duty, to alleviate that pressure off a young player's shoulders. So you can go on there and feel $1 million. When I played as a young kid for West Ham, Harry Redknapp said, go and make mistakes. Make mistakes. When I played for England under
you. You did.
Make mistakes. I made a couple, but I made up for them.
It's a joke.
You're always on my case. What's going on?
I think they call it banter.
No. You can only do it when you know it's actually not the case. Right. That's all. Yeah, that's
cool.
The only.
We're cool.
Yeah. No, you've got to learn quick, haven't you? When you're thrown in there, you've got to learn on the job and you've got to learn quick. It's important to have good professionals around you, though. When we all played our first games, I'm sure we all had good pros around you to nurse you on the pitch, which is the vital time.
Mm. It's Hulk! They've snatched the lead on the night. Oh, what a hit! And saved by the keeper and followed in! And Ben Speaker have their lead back out of the blue! Telisca, it's a done deal now without any question. Benfica in the end with comfort and style.
Well, that's certainly livened up in the second half. Well done, Benfica. They're through to the quarterfinals and it all got very lively in the second half, actually, didn't it?
Yeah, it needed to. But I think the substitutions from the Benfica manager made a huge impact on the game after Gaetan scoring the first. I mean, he's been an integral part of their success.
Scrappy goal right at the death there by Talisca. And they've gone through. I thought at the stage at 1-0, Zenit were going to be the side that were going to go on and win. They were creating all the chances. Yeah. But, you know, it did liven up second half and it needed to.
It certainly did. Benfica, you'd fancy them in the quarterfinals, wouldn't you?
You'd be rubbing your hands if you got them, if they come out of the hat and you have them. So I'm sure the big teams will be waiting for them.
On Tuesday, Cristiano Ronaldo and Real Madrid looked to defend a two-goal lead in their second leg tie with Roma, while Wolfsburg attempted to make history by beating Ghent to qualify for the quarterfinals for the first time. Here's more of the best bits with Michael Owen, Owen Hargreaves, Raphael Honigstein, Thomas Hitzlsperger and Daryl Curry.
Lucas Vasquez, who can have a go at Dina for the first time and deliver some quality in to Cristiano Ronaldo. The substitute made it and Real Madrid's ace marksman finished it. Ronaldo, and he's sniffing again here, and he gives it to James Rodriguez, and Real Madrid are in for two, and that's exactly what they get. Ronaldo the provider, James Rodriguez on target this time.
Obviously, the boys did a good job out in Rome, so it was all about trying to see the game off, try and get a goal and kill the game off, and we managed to do that. So, we're very happy through to the next round and looking forward to the draw. We defended well enough and we were able to break the deadlock in the second half. So, we're happy now that we're through. We can concentrate back on the league now and, look forward to the rest of the season.
And overall, bit of a walk in the park, really, Rhea.
Yeah, lackadaisical, to say the least. But they got the job done, and 2-0 probably flattered them because Roma had many chances tonight to really kind of got back into the game. But as you said, Ronaldo comes up with that all-important goal that really just changes the game, and it took the sting out of Roma.
Shows the difference of a great goal scorer, really, doesn't it, Michael? Roma had chances, missed them. Ronaldo, bit of movement, Bosch, all over.
That's why he's one of the greatest, if not the greatest, on the planet. So clinical. You look at the other end and you see Salah that does everything great outside the box, but end product, whether it's a finish, whether it's a cross. Dzeko had a chance or two. So, yeah, when you've got these class players in your team, then you can rely on them to get you through the hard ties.
It wasn't a masterclass by any means, was it?
That performance won't scare anybody else in the Champions League. I think before you would have thought Real Madrid one of the top teams, but that was, I thought, careless on their behalf. They could have easily been down in that game. The only difference is they took their chances. Roma had some terrific chances, were so poor in front of goal, and they should have scored at least one, if not two goals, Roma.
It could have been different, but I suppose in the end, Real Madrid were more emphatic with their finishing, Real.
Yeah, they're much more clinical. When you've got a Cristiano Ronaldo in your team, you get opportunities, and invariably puts it in the back of the net and punishes you. I think this is more of a performance about this, not exert too much energy.
You know, Real Madrid is set up to play on the counter-attack. I suppose it's quite hard because most teams play against Real Madrid. They just want to sit deep. So they don't get that opportunity very often.
I think as you go further in this tournament, them having the ball, the lion's share of the ball, kind of goes out the window. I think if they come up against a Barcelona, against a Bayern Munich, even a Paris Saint-Germain, I think they'll have less of the ball. But I think that's where they're strongest. Their biggest threat comes if Benzema's playing through the middle, Cristiano Ronaldo and Bale. Pace on the counter-attack, that's enough to scare you, that pace, because they're direct with it and they've got the quality to hurt you. So if they can defend well as a group in banks of four, and let them, or banks of four and a three, and let the three forwards win the game, they've got a real good chance. But it'll be difficult, but we'll see. Yeah.
In that game, Roma, blimey, they had their chances, didn't it? Especially at 0-0.
Yeah, I mean, it was two in the first half, I think, and two in the second half that you would class as really good chances. And I like Salah, he caused a lot of problems, but you do not have any confidence when he's in front of the goal at all.
He actually looks a world beater. He looks a world beater until he's got to make a decision on passing or shooting. Yeah. Until he gets to that point.
But we look at all the chances. They're all when the defence is unorganised, Marcello out of position, Ramos gets dragged out. Every chance Roma created was on the counter-attack.
You know what it is? Marcello's a left-back. He played like a left-winger today. Yeah. OK, he's out of position and he's marauded and he's a maverick and he's going up the pitch and you don't want to contain him too much, but as a centre-half, Ramos should be screaming up that pitch, get yourself back here, we're being opened up left, right and centre. Stay in your position, we're 2-0 up.
Salah's actually made him look really, really slow once or twice in the first leg and again tonight. He's shown Ramos up, so at the very least you'd be thinking, get back and just protect me a little bit. Yeah.
Looking at Real Madrid there, Owen, and the way they play and the way they set up, the way they attack and everything, they've got so many quality players, but can you envisage them winning the Champions League playing this way?
I think they have the players to win the Champions League, but the way they play, they can't win the Champions League. There's no question. Bayern are far better at this possession game than they are. Barcelona are far better at it. They need a game plan, a different one, as Rio said. Maybe play on the counter-attack, break from deep. But if they play like they did today, which was incredibly naive, they'll get punished against a better team. Roma just didn't have the players to punish them today.
Defensively, you'd worry about them against the best teams,
you
wouldn't
would,
you?
Especially out wide. You think anyone can get round the back of them. And I think a lot of people thought it was a three-horse race, maybe a four-horse race with Paris Saint-Germain earlier on in the competition. I think we're starting to get into a two-horse race now. I think everyone watches the games and think it's between Bayern Munich and Barcelona. And all the evidence I've seen, I think they're head and shoulders above anyone else. And especially over two legs when, you know, you might be able to fluke a draw and then beat someone on penalties in a one-leg game. But over two legs, I think the best teams come out on top and they look head and shoulders above the rest of them.
Yeah, in the sense of Real Madrid, though, where do you have them? Are they just behind Bayern and Barca, or are they perhaps in there with that bunch of other clubs that would probably include the English teams?
I think it depends on who you draw. I think if you look at the English teams, Manchester City play similarly to the way Real Madrid do a little bit. Mm. Very attacking, very open.
And you'd worry, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I think it could be anything in that game, depending on the form of the top player. Today, Cristiano decided that game. Sergio Aguero could decide a game against Real Madrid, no question. But I agree with Michael. The two top teams by far are Barcelona and Bayern Munich.
They'll probably draw each other in the next round then.
I hope not. Please don't.
No, it'd be nice. That would be a hell of a final, wouldn't it?
That's the dream come true, I think, the dream scenario. You've got Pep's old team against Pep's new team.
Depends who you support, I suppose.
I don't support Man City or Chelsea. So. No. But I'd like to see the English teams kind of make way in the tournament.
Yeah, of course. Well, our fashion correspondent, Rio Ferdinand, not overly enamoured with that attire there that Gareth is wearing.
The taupe and Jean, I don't know. I was baffled by it.
But it's good to see him back playing, isn't it?
Exactly. More importantly, back playing. But he's a great talent. He lit the Premier League for a couple of years, Player of the Year, and went over there and won the Champions League. And I just love to see him maintain that form that when he first went there, and he's been a bit stop-start. But when he's in full flow, there's not many better players to watch.
Tends to pick up the odd injury, but, I mean, a prodigious talent, isn't it? It'd be great to see him, you know, good climax of the season with Real Madrid and then the Euros, of course, with Wales.
Yeah, it's a big time for... I mean, you know, Wales getting through to the Euros is brilliant, and it gives him a chance to showcase his skills on the world stage. Of course, the Champions League is another one of those stages, and it's great to see him back. We're all desperate for our lads to go over there and to play well and to do well, because not enough of our players go out abroad and experience it. So it's great to see him back. And as Rio says, we just need him to stay fit.
Interesting point, because you two both played abroad. It's not mentioned any kind of
discourse. He's coming for me already. I can feel it.
You've had a wonderful career, Rio. I'm not trying to have a go at you at all. But it does help your education as a footballer, doesn't it?
Massively. And the one thing I admire about him, he left his comfort zone. He could have easily gone to Man United, something easy, and he would have been the focal point. But to go there and deal with all that difficulty, I think eventually he'll come back, maybe to a Manchester United, and the team will build around him. And he's just a super player. Yeah. It's a shame that he gets the criticism that he does, because I think he's just a brilliant player, quick, powerful, scores goals, and one of the best to watch.
Mm, just think how good you could have been, Rio.
Mm. Here's Draxler. Trying to take the game to the opposition. Finally, André Schürrle.
André, congratulations into the quarterfinals for the first time in history. Just describe how special an achievement that is for Wolfsburg.
I think it's very special. I mean, you see it in the faces in the stadium. It's amazing for them and for us as well. And it was a hard fight. The first game was amazing from us, except for the last 10 minutes when we conceded two goals. But we knew that Ghent has to come today. They had to score two goals, and we knew that. So we defended good. We defended well. I think they didn't have a clear chance in the whole 90 minutes, and that's what we wanted to do. And then we had a few good chances, and luckily we scored. So, it was very important, and it's an amazing feeling to be in the quarterfinals.
So a couple of very happy Germans sitting next to me here, Thomas and Rafa, because Wolfsburg are through. And, you know, it was relatively straightforward in the end, but this is a big, big night for them, isn't it, making it all the way through to the last eight?
It is, and I think they've got, you know, every reason to celebrate. Even though they didn't play well in the first half, I think, you know, going through, playing in the quarterfinal of the Champions League, that's some achievement. And I said earlier, I'm a bit worried the next round, you know, there's some big games, some big teams in there. The way they played over the two legs might not be good enough, but tonight they've got every reason to celebrate.
They knew it was the dream draw, of course, getting Ghent at this stage. But should they be concerned going on? They really need to hit the top gear if they're going to cause any of the big boys any problems and show better than they did tonight, Rafa.
Yes, that's true. But, I mean, sometimes you can raise your game against better opposition, but sometimes you subconsciously lower your game when you come up against a team that you feel you can dominate, you don't have to score. And the occasion also got to them a little bit. They felt that they had something to lose. So I think this is probably not the real Wolfsburg. I think there's still a lot of potential that we didn't see today. And against a better side, they will probably perform better as well with coming from an outsider, from an underdog perspective, which will probably suit them.
And we've already seen in this competition against the likes of Manchester United, they can turn it on. In this game tonight, it was Julian Draxler who probably decided the tie in the end, given the two goals he scored in the first meeting. And the way he set the goal up, which, it finished the game off for André Schürrle.
Yeah, it reminded me of the first goal he scored in the first leg.
And at that very point in the game, we did notice Ghent were starting to have a goal, weren't they? So, of course, they were going to get caught out a little bit more at the back.
The game opened up a little bit. I think two things happened. A, you could see from the second half onwards that Wolfsburg had a bit more fire in their belly. I think Dieter Hecking would have found one or two words to say to wake them up from their slumber. And secondly, after that first half where you wouldn't say the visitors dominated, but they caused some problems. The second half, the game opened up a little bit because they just couldn't really
find...
This was the big chance. They couldn't really find that balance that they had in the first half. They created one or two half chances. Nothing really clear-cut, though.
No, it wasn't. But, you know, I would say they were the better team in the first half. Unfortunately for Wolfsburg, they didn't create those clear-cut chances. But as I said, you know, Dieter Hecking must have told them at half-time, this tie's not over yet. You need to improve. That's what they did. They just stepped up one gear, not two or three, one gear. And at the same time, Ghent, they just stepped the gear back, and that was enough.
No doubt they've got a lot of attacking talent, especially that front four they play. And you think going forwards, Rafa, they could cause a lot of teams problems. It's whether they can hold them with the rest of the team and the quality they have in other areas, perhaps?
Yeah, I think those two things really go together. And today you saw that the four of them sometimes were a little bit isolated because the midfielders were reluctant to push up, at least in the first half. And Schürrle is really key. Schürrle and Draxler. I mean, this team was the second best team in Germany last year because of one guy, Kevin De Bruyne. And now that he's gone, there's a bit more space for the likes of Draxler, who has come in as his replacement de facto, and Schürrle, but they also have responsibility to perform. And none of them have really done it quite to the expectations yet. They need to begin to perform and to score the goals that they have done over the last few weeks.
Draxler, a young man, of course, but he was signed in part to replace De Bruyne, and it was always going to be hard to do that. But, you know, Dieter Hecking talks in recent weeks about the fact that there's a growing maturity about his game. Did we see that again tonight, the way that all of a sudden he stepped it up and produced the assist for Schürrle's goal?
We saw a little bit of it because there was pressure on the team, as we just said, because they were 3-2 up on the first leg and they suddenly felt they've got something to lose. And that's why I think that Draxler, he's done well again. He set up the goal. He's only been signed in the summer, so he needs time. Schürrle, he's been there for over a year. He hasn't really performed. Only in the last few weeks, he's stepped up a little bit. And I think this partnership could work really well for the club. It's not only about one team, one player, De Bruyne, who's gone. It can be two, three players, Kruse, Draxler, Schürrle. They could do the business for them.
On their day, can they cause problems to any team left in the competition, or is that too big an ask? Will they be looking to maybe Benfica Zenit's game tomorrow night and dreaming of being paired with them next?
That would be the dream, of course. But, I mean, they can be awkward. I think they can play on the counter-attack. They caused Dortmund a lot of problems last year when they won the German Cup final against a side that really took the game to them. And going forward, and like Andre Schürrle said, they have enough goal scorers there. They have enough players who can decide the game. Whether they have enough to cope with the sort of firepower that you'll see from a Barcelona, possibly from a Real Madrid, maybe from a Bayern Munich, that's going to be hard. And at times tonight, you saw why they're seventh in the league in Germany, not perhaps quite among the very best.
Defensively, I guess, the question marks, because Naldo is now looking like he's going to be out till the end of the season, an operation for him. And they are down to the bare bones, because Tim Klose, of course, sold to Norwich during that window. So it looks like it's going to be Dante and Kanoka going ahead now. Is that going to be good enough to stop the best attacks?
No. Well, simply no. I mean, we talked about the front three, front four. They're very good, and I'd say they do a good job in the Champions League, even in the quarterfinal. But they'll be tested. They didn't get tested tonight, not in the first leg either, and that's why I think defensively they're struggling. They need a top-class goalkeeper. Castells is good, but I don't think Champions League quarterfinal, that's good enough.
And we talked about lots of the players who have caught the eye, but Max Kruse as well. You're wondering where he might be this summer, because he seems to be turning on at the right time in the season.
Well, he played like a man who wants to be in France this summer. And, you know, he has a lot of... he has a big point to prove still, because when he was nominated for Germany, he didn't quite deliver. When he was here with Germany playing England, his behaviour off the pitch raised a few eyebrows. He hasn't been nominated for a while after that. And he seems like he wants to really give Joachim Löw a bit of a selection problem. They don't have many strikers.
What chance do you give him, Rafa?
I'd give him about a 10% chance. That's...
I think even more to get in the squad. As you just said, there aren't many strikers in the German squad. You know, a lot of good midfield players, but strikers, that's what they need. He scored goals for Germany, but as you said, his problems off the field sometimes become a bit too big. But he played like he wants to get into the squad. He wants to be in France in the summer, so hopefully he gets there.
We've already heard from Andre Schürrle after this game. You know, he scored a hat-trick against Hannover last week, and there was talk of maybe silencing some doubters. Is he doing that consistently enough now? Another goal tonight.
He has improved. You know, he scored that goal. It was important for the team tonight to quieten the nerves. I think he's getting better now. And again, the partnership with Draxler, not everybody was relying on Schürrle alone. It's a Draxler, it's Kruse, maybe Gustavo and Gilavogui. So there's more players there to take responsibility. He's doing better now, but still there's a long way to go, because we've seen how good he can be. He hasn't proved it week in, week out. So he's got a long way to go.
Arsenal doomed.
game over. I mean, you're playing against...
to watch, whatever happens.
Yeah, it's one of the best teams ever. I mean, this goal was just typical of what they do. They turn defence into attack at the blink of an eye.
But really, look, even one of the best teams in the world, the best team though, plays on the counter-attack sometimes. There's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, and people see, you're playing on the counter-attack as a weakness. No, it's not. You're just doing what needs must sometimes. And there's going to be moments in the games. They manage games better than anyone. Yeah. There's moments in the games where you've got to change your style at times and maybe play on the counter, which normally you see them dominating possession.
I caught a sentence from you earlier, Michael, when we were just chatting here, saying, best team we've ever seen. You think that?
Yeah. I do think so. I think the best club side that we've ever seen. Those three attacking players are just amazing. But I think when you look deeper into it, especially in that Arsenal game, their centre-halves were playing almost on their own byline when they got the ball from a goal kick. But you can only do... You can't mimic that style of play. You can't just set out your team to play like that because you have to be extraordinary players that are unbelievable at keeping the ball, possession... So it's almost impossible to copy unless you've just got the players that they've got.
I think the Guardiola's team, they were a more dominant team in possession. They would take the ball off you for 75-80% of the time consistently with Xavi.
But that still is Guardiola's team. It's the same blueprint.
I think the strikers in this team are better and they're more reliant upon them three strikers, whereas the other team, I think it was shared about a bit more. But I think this team it's got a more potent edge to it, which makes it more exciting.
You'd take Wolfsburg, wouldn't you, in the last mate of the Champions League?
Yeah, there's still a couple of teams in there that you'd rub your hands together if you got. And that's no disrespect to them, but last eight of the Champions League, then you're expecting to get a big boy. And Wolfsburg are certainly not that just yet, and you'd be pleased to get them.
I suppose it does also show how strong German football is, as we know. But yeah. club-wise as well as internationally.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that we've always talked about the cycles and at the moment Germany in the middle of one of them with the teams that they've got in the latter stages with Bayern Munich as well as Wolfsburg and Dortmund going well in the Europa. So for the last couple of years, they've really had a good run in this tournament and the quality, not just the run, but the quality of the teams.
It's quite good for the Bundesliga as well, isn't it, to have Dortmund actually challenging Bayern again? Or, you know, they've had a little bit of a rise towards them because you were starting to look at a league that became non-competitive.
Well, it did, but Dortmund have been exceptional this season. They have such a difficult season. Wolfsburg were brilliant last season. They really struggled in the league this year, but they're doing quite well in the Champions League. But I think German football, they have a great mentality, you know, and they showed it in a game like this. And there are a lot of good teams in the Bundesliga, but Bayern Munich are by far the best.
Why did they, you spent many years there, why did they have that different kind of mentality, that winning mentality? What's the difference?
To be honest with you, I mean, I played there for 10 years, and I always said our England teams were stacked full of brilliant players, and we never made a team out of brilliant players. I don't know why we never did, and maybe these guys have an answer, but Germany had far inferior players in many situations, but they were a better team than us in those crucial moments, and that comes down to...
How? In what way?
That's mentality. You know, that's how you put the pieces of the puzzle together. That's a coach's job. You need to complement each other, and at times, I think, as good of players as we had, for whatever reason, we didn't complement each other. You know, people forget there's only one ball on the pitch, and other players need to affect the game in other ways. You can't have everybody be the star player. I think Germany's kind of swallowed their pride sometimes.
Yeah, I think they deal with pressure a lot better than us. I think is it the actual manager who alleviates
in
the pressure?
In a team sense or an individual sense? Because surely some players can deal with pressure, others can't. But I think wherever you're from,
I think as a whole, I think that their players seem to be able to deal with pressure situations. You look at penalties. Most of the time, they win penalty shootout.
Yeah.
It's the mentality
Do you know the stats on club football penalties and English players against German players? Actually, there's English players come out marginally on top. But obviously, when it comes to a national event, it's very different.
Yeah, it is. If we could put our finger on that, we'll be in the job that Russians got, I'm sure.
You might be. I want a job for all the money in the world. Thank you very much.
I think Germans definitely put their team ahead. I'm good friends with Didi Hamann, who's obviously a German player for many years. And a lot of the time when he assesses games and when I'm with him, he talks about English players being rather, you know, more selfish, not as much of the team orientated. So maybe that's in it, but it's hard to say.
Thanks for listening to the Champions League podcast. We'll be back again next week for more of the best insight and analysis. See you then.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc. Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.